Welcome to Stash Chats, the sewing podcast that unpicks sewing room secrets and celebrates crafty collections. I'm your host, Yvette, co-founder of sewing organizer app Stash Hub, and I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with your stash. Each episode, I'm joined by a different member of the sewing community to chat about their unique stash, personal sewing journey, and what inspires them. This episode, I'm joined by Emma, Studio 77 bag pattern designer. Emma treats us to a little tour of her sewing studio and gives us some recommendations on where to source bag making supplies. Emma also gives us a little peek into her previous career as a costume designer working on iconic costumes, including Star Wars Chewbacca.
So how are you doing, Emma?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm really happy to have you on the show.
It's lovely to be here. I'm excited to chat with you.
Do you want to just start by introducing yourself and just talking a bit about Studio 77 and your sewing background?
Yeah, sure. I'll try and keep it like not the long version. I'm Emma at Studio 77. And I am a bag pattern designer. I have a bag maker subscription box. We have the 77 Club, which is like all about teaching people how to make bags. I've just launched a YouTube course as well, which is slightly on a tangent. And I love all things sewing. I try and make my own clothes as much as possible, but usually that gets shelved because of everything else I'm doing. And my sewing background is that I've sewn all my life, but most people like to hear about the fact that I have made creature costumes for film and TV for about 20 years. I left the film industry around about 2015, well, full time. And then I did part time for a few bits, and then now I'm full time in my business for about a year now.
Excellent. So what sort of appeals to you about like bag making specifically?
I think because of everything that I've done in the film world, I do like creature costumes and kind of out there crazy stuff. Always the sewing side of animatronics, that kind of thing. And it's always 3D. It's always thinking outside of the box, using kind of crazy materials often. And so it just lent itself more to having a business in that kind of 3D world, rather than like, I'm not really a fashionista, I'm not really into, I mean, like I said, I like to make my own clothes, but I didn't want to go down that route of the fashion world. So it just sort of fell into that way. I started a YouTube channel in 2020, which is why I'm really passionate about YouTube as well. And my whole business came from the platform, really. And so I do have a couple of clothing bits on there, but it quickly became apparent that I wanted to do more bags and bag making and small projects, that kind of thing, rather than teaching people how to make clothes.
So were you running the YouTube channel and then you started your business after that?
Yeah. So I started it in 2020. I procrastinated for about 3 years. Yeah. Like a lot of people.
I'm sure all the sewists watching will relate to that as well.
I procrastinated about 3 years, finally started in 2020 for obvious reasons. I had a little bit more time. So I'm a mum to two kids. That's why originally why I left the film industry. And then I left as well because I had my business had started, but it was very different. Still Studio 77, still the same name, but it's very different now to how it was, because I was making hand-sewn toys and selling them direct to the public, and it was great, but it became a factory kind of thing. So then I started my YouTube channel with the idea that I would teach other people to make my toys and sell the patterns, and then I just kind of fell into the bag making because it was just so perfect for all my sort of 3D skills. So that's where we are.
In the chat, Natalie's just asked, what's your favourite thing that you've ever made?
Oh, people always ask me that. It's so hard. I mean, I could be really cheesy and say my kids. I mean, that's a given, isn't it? It's too hard to answer that question, because there's different things that have different kind of meanings or memories. So I'll try not to take too long to answer. I do have a habit of nattering on. But Probably, well, the most famous one that I've ever made is Chewbacca for Star Wars, which I'm sure most of you know who that is. The thing that I got most excited about when I heard that I'd got the job was working on Batman, making the bat suit. That was like an absolute childhood dream. Favorite thing, I think it probably has to be Iggle Piggle, if you know Iggle Piggle from In the Night Garden. Just because he's so well loved, and he was on the front of the Argos catalogue, which was just like amazing.
Very recognizable characters as well. I feel like the stakes are very high there, like, you know.
It's quite hard. It's quite hard to choose which one's my favourite. But I think out of my bag patterns, if we go away from the costume stuff, my favourite thing I think probably has to be this guy. He's really popular, which is a shark backpack. So he's got a little zipper on the outside, and then of course you open the mouth. It's got a red mouth. So that's probably my favourite thing from my patterns. But yeah, it's hard to choose.
Definitely. So you've got experience of like dressmaking and bag making. What would you say is like the main difference in terms of like the stuff that you need?
Oh, I mean, I need everything. Doesn't everybody? stuff that you need. Well, so for bag making, actually, you can just see it. If I do that a little bit, then that guy there is an absolute game changer. And that is the Green Machine, which I happen to be on a stand with at the Netting and Stitching Show this week. But that's not why I mentioned it. That machine is an absolute game changer for bag making, because without it, you kind of have to hammer your rivets. I mean, you don't have to use rivets, but the rivets, you know, elevate it, they make it stronger and all the rest of it. So before that, you have to sort of hammer them in, whereas with that, you just kind of go dunk and it's done, perfect every time. So for bag making, yeah, there's that one. Actually, weirdly, last week, I go live normally every week on YouTube on a Thursday night. I'm not doing it this week, which is why I say normally. But last week, I did my top 5 bag makers tools. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can find that over on YouTube if you search for Studio 77. But yeah, I think the rivet press, hump jumper, you really need a hump jumper. But again, you can live without it because you can just kind of, you know, fold over a few bits of fabric. What else is really good? I mean, I'd say those are probably the main, walking foot, yeah. Definitely a walking foot. But most things cross over from the sewing world, you know, it's the usual kind of.
I think quite a lot of like garment sewists are probably a bit more like intimidated to get into the bag making space because they think it's going to be like a lot more difficult materials and hardware and stuff. But no.
I'm a huge advocate of just go for it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Start off with quilting cotton and just go for it. If you do something wrong, you just unpick it.
Yeah,
it's all good. It's all part of it. We all unpick stuff, you know, all the time.
So what machine do you use?
Yeah, what machine do I use? I've got two. So I've got a Bernina 480, which I use for my zigzags, buttonholes, all my general sewing. And then I've also got a Janome HD9. And I use, that's a semi-industrial straight stitch only, and I use that base obviously for my bag making. I use that pretty much most of the time, unless I need to use zigzag and then I get the other one out. But yeah, but I had the Bernina 480 for ages before I decided to get the Janome. I've got a couple other machines as well because I've been sewing since forever, but I won't even go into that. But yeah, if you're looking to get into bag making and you're getting serious about it, then the Janome HD9.
Oh.
Do your life. Yeah, Janome HD9 is brilliant for bag making.
Brilliant. So then in terms of your stash, how would you describe describe your sewing stash?
Oh, well, so I do have a lot of stuff. I mean, like I told you, I've been making stuff all my life. So I have accumulated quite a lot. I've also done most crafts. So I've done knitting, I've done crocheting, I've done a lot of crocheting. Calligraphy, I'm just looking at my stuff. Calligraphy, I've got paint, you know, like, I think when you're creative, you tend to kind of do that, don't you? But my stash is slightly out of control at the moment. So Stash Hub has come along at the right time. I need to spend some time and just put my stash into it. And what I'm really excited about is because I've got all my bag projects, and mostly I don't have time to sew other people's stuff, unfortunately. So I kind of know what's coming up because it's in my brain. I know that that's what I'm going to do. But with the, so it doesn't need organizing too much, if that makes sense. And also, obviously, I haven't written the pattern yet, so I don't know what fabric is involved. But with my sewing, like my clothes sewing, I'm excited because it's kind of separated, because mostly my bag making stuff is your quilting cottons, whether it's lining or outer. And then I've got like faux leathers and corks and stuff like that as well, which you shouldn't be scared of, by the way. It's totally fine. Loads of tips and tricks on my channel if you get worried. And you can always ask me as well. But yeah, so I'm excited to get everything sort of separated and out of my brain. It's like I was looking just before this and I was like, I've got some like baby cord that I've had for over a year that I know I need to make some heydays because I still never made any. And they've just, and it's just sitting there. And actually you made me get it out because I was like, I need to just do it. So I need to put that into Stash Hub and get it planned and organized and all the rest of it. Yeah. So it's good.
So you have quite a lot of notions as well for your bags.
Yeah, I do. I have quite a lot of hardware. I wonder if I can show you actually. Let me see if I can show you without sort of giving you a tour of all the bad parts. Hang on. Let's see if we can. I might have to unplug. Hang on. See if I can do that. Is it turned around? No, I've turned it off. Hang on. There we go. So that's kind of how I have my hardware. Classic IKEA board.
Nice.
I'm not sure that the dinosaurs are classic, but you know, they just hang out there. But yeah, so I have them kind of separated. So those are obviously my rose gold rivets, and then I've got some antique bronze hardware. Those are the dies for the rivet press. So that's how I have them kind
Great.
Of
very organized
behind my machine. Yeah, it's kind of organized. There's my machine, my other machine that I use, my 480. And then in terms of everything else, because I've got a Cricut, I've also got some HTVs up there as well. I'll show you the messy bit now.
Storage solutions for everything, so yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I try. I think especially because I'm filming quite a lot as well, I try and keep this quite clear and tidy and just have some of my bags and projects on display and some superheroes, because everybody needs a superhero in their workroom. And then this is my messy bit. Look at that. Wow. So like 9 times out of 10, you need to roll up cork or vinyl or faux leather. So that's what all of that is. That's just kind of stuck up there and hanging over. And then this is like extra fabrics that I can't fit in anywhere else. And I'm bearing all now. And then this is kind of, some of that is like longer pieces or it's fabrics for dressmaking. And then I also have, I can show you this, if I go down here. So these shelves, I've got like these drawers, again, classic IKEA. And then see here, this is messy. This is how I do my zips. I'm sure this is not a great way. Look at that, really easy.
Selection though.
It is a good selection.
Labeled your drawers as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when I did this, so this was a garage and then I renovated it all. And then I was like, oh, I need to remember what's in every, I mean, obviously now I kind of remember, but I wanted to remember. So I got the Cricut out and yeah, put all my So this is like general, look at this, it's terrible. The drawer of, this is like the kitchen drawer, isn't it?
Like the Stoic equivalent of the man drawer where just all the random stuff goes.
Yeah, exactly. And when I was on holiday, I got loads of these friction pens because I was like, those are absolutely gold dust, so cheap. But yeah, scissor sharpener, classic, super helpful. So I've got two of those kind of terrible man drawers. And then I showed you my zipper drawer. And then I've got some fabric drawers like this. So this is kind of, it's not really organized. It was organized, and then every now and then I would get like a new delivery of something that I've ordered, probably late night shopping or something. And then I'd be like, where can I fit that? Oh, that can go with, this originally was like girly fabrics, like kids fabrics.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, as you can sort of see, there's like ballerina and stuff. Because like I told you, I was making stuff to sell. So I was doing like lots of crayon rolls, lots of girly stuff. So I had like a stereotypical, I don't like saying it's girly and boys, I don't like that, but like stereotypical.
Drawer in there.
Yeah. But obviously, as you can see, it's kind of gone out the window because I've added some random rainbow stuff and some Tula and stuff. And then this one is like the opposite, where it's like, well, that's a pony one. But yeah, so you've got like your trains and your dinosaurs and stuff. And then looks, as you can see, then some pink and some floral, and you can see it's gone out the window. But I've got a few of those. I've got that one as well. I've got a lot of stash.
That fabric in the middle, the one with the cobalt blue and the pink leopards on.
Yes.
I had that fabric. I made a apron with my mum. That was like a sewing project that we did together.
Oh nice. I think it was from Hobbycraft, that one.
Yeah, that's where I got it from.
Yeah, I think I know what I did. I made someone this, which is like a pencil case that slides down.
That's really cool. I was getting loads of ads for those like a couple of years ago, and I actually bought one. I didn't even consider trying to make one. That's really cool.
Yeah, so there's a video on my YouTube channel for how to make like a cat one and a bunny one. So that fabric that you saw was for one of those. That's why I got that. But yeah, so I could really do with organizing all of this. I have another one here, look, as well. So what's quite nice though, is that when I need, cause I use a lot of quilting cottons, what I can do is I can just, as you can see, just pull them all out. And then I can see at a glance, mostly what I've got.
Yeah, that's a quite an inspired idea, actually, to put them all side by side. Because I think my first like thing would be, oh, I'll just put them all like vertically in one unit, but then you can't see them all together.
Yeah.
So I think that is.
Yeah, so that's that. And then for my like stock, let me see if I can spin you around. Hang on. I've got these drawers. Let me just make sure I open the right one. Here we go. So this is like my stock drawer. So these, again, quite a classic IKEA, good old IKEA drawer unit. And then these are like inserts from IKEA as well. So because I get a lot of stock for my bag maker's box, I always get a little bit extra just because sometimes the quality isn't good, or obviously I check everything. So I just want to make sure I've got enough. Or sometimes, you know, they don't send the right amount or something. Yeah. So
inevitably, if you've got bulk as well, then you might not get exactly the same amount in the bulk. You get orders for your box and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I always get extra. So this is just really cool because I can just pull this out, and this is all my silver. I've got another one which is very depleted, which was all my rainbow. And then I can have everything organized. It's all my journals. I do like, it's a bucket, like a bag maker's journal that I do. So if I get an order in, I can just, oh, hi Chopper. I can see you're watching. I wish I was that organized. And then it's all my stickers as well, cause I have loads of stickers. Yeah. So this is kind of like my work storage station. Got tissue paper and what's up there, or labels. So yeah, going through it, it's just easy to find everything. So yeah, that's how I try and keep organized. Oh, and I have this trolley, which I love. So that is like amazing for me because then you can wheel this, I wheel it over to my cutting table and then I can wheel it over to my machine. And it's a mess, as you can see, but it's got everything.
On it.
Yeah, it's got everything in there. Although again, that needs a huge sort out. You can see there's cables and all sorts. I'm bearing all here. But yeah, so that's how I try and keep everything fairly organized on the.
No, it looks amazing. I feel like everyone's gonna get so much inspiration now for reorganizing their
Oh.
sewing room. Gonna be getting labeled drawers and boards and drawer inserts. I feel like we've got a lot of inspiration here. This is great.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, I will just say, obviously, I am very lucky to have my own room, and I appreciate that not everybody does. So I always like to say that. I didn't for the longest time. And when we moved in here, we did the classic, the whole thing needed to be gutted. We didn't realize how much until we sort of, took a dive in. And we bought this house thinking that this would be my workroom and then run out of money. And so for the longest time, and actually if you watch some of my earlier videos, you'll see I'm on the kitchen table, on the dining table, in the kitchen and everything. And then my dad was like, come on, you need your workroom. So we'd been quoted, I think it was 20 grand to do it, and we did it for 1,000. Did it
Oh,
for,
wow, that's
yeah.
amazing. So you did a lot of work yourselves
We did it
then.
all ourselves. Yeah, sorry, I've got something in my eye. Yeah, we did it
Amazing.
all ourselves. Yeah, me and my dad. It was amazing.
I bet that makes it much easier for running YouTube as well, to have like a space you can leave set up and it's just ready and you don't have to keep moving the tripod out the way and
Yeah,
everything.
absolutely. Yeah, anything that you can get rid of those hurdles to actually start filming. Chopper is a YouTuber as well. I know Chopper from YouTube, so. He will say the same, I'm sure. Anything you can do to take down those barriers to be able to film is just absolutely amazing. I can just see you've said that's organized chaos. I bet you know where everything is. Kind of. I don't know.
It seems like everything's got a place where it should be, even if it's not like currently there. So I think that's better than just having, no system at all.
I try. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh.
We had one question beforehand, which was from Jess, who is at So What If I Sew. So she was last week's Stash Chat guest. So she was wondering, what are your favourite places to buy bag making supplies? I mean, I guess you're
Ooh.
so a supplier, so you
Yeah.
could just say, oh, I
I just
buy them
buy
for
them for
myself.
myself. No, well, I will just do a quick plug of my thread that has just come out that I'm going to be having at the Knitting and Stitching Show, which is a Top Stitch Tex 35 Rainbow. It's called Remix Rainbow Remix, I should say. So that's really exciting. So if you need top stitching thread, that's where I get them. No, obviously I get my rainbow from me. Who do I use? I use Country Cow Designs for nice zippers and things. Obviously, I am get you know do get my own stash as I get extras from my bag maker's box and things. If you are looking for really nice surprises every other month, and the bag maker's box is really good for that because you get different fabrics and hardware and supplies and goodies. But yeah, if I need something for a specific project, then Country Cow Designs is fantastic. Little Stitcher Sews is great as well. I also use Sew Hot. Me Made Makes as well is fab. Who else do I use? I think that might be it.
Right.
But yeah, so. Sew Hot is really good for cork and faux leathers and things like that, so do check them out. And Little Stitcher Sews does really nice clear vinyls as well, like lots of different prints and thread as well, I should say. But yeah, so check them out if you need any of that.
Exciting. So you're looking forward to the knitting and stitching show?
I'm not quite ready yet, I will say. It's only like a day away. which is a bit bonkers. So yeah, I've got to, well, I decided about 2 days ago that I was going to put labels on the top of all my, so I've wrapped up all the zippers. So I've done like packs of zippers. So you get like the zipper tape and then you get two pulls in a pack. And when I did a show before, I just put them in, I use compostable bags, which, so I go on Sewing Street as well. I haven't even talked about that. But when I go on Sewing Street, they always tell me off because they're really crinkly and they sound really loud. They're like, oh, why you brought these bags on? But obviously it's the right thing to do. So that's why I do it. But yeah, so before I just put them in the bags, but now I've decided to put a label on the top. So it's really clear how much it is, what's inside. So people can just pick it up rather than being like, oh, what's this? So yeah, so I've got loads of that to do. Cut out the labels and then staple them all on. That's my evening after this. But I think otherwise, I think I'm nearly ready. I'm going to do a dummy run at home tomorrow, lay everything out how I want it to be, make sure I've got everything packed. And then Wednesday, we're going to go up, do the kind of get in, get it all ready. Like I say, I've got like a small part of a larger stall for the trimming shop. So I don't quite know which end I'm at and all of that stuff. So I'll figure all that out. And then, of course, I'm doing two tutorials as well, which I know you're coming to, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to Emma's workshop on Thursday. So yeah, I'm really excited about that because I haven't really got any experience of bag making, so I'm quite excited. And I feel like it's really good to have someone just sort of like talk you through it for like the first project, and then you're just like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'll go down like a whole nother rabbit hole into bag making. So watch this thing.
I'm just gonna say, don't blame me, okay? It's not my fault. In fact, I've got the bag. Just one second, it's just behind the camera. I've got the bag we're going to be making is here. So this is the little bag we're going to be making. Lots of rivets, so we're going to be using the rivet press. I think there's something in there. Oh, it's just the pattern. So yeah, nice and simple, a great beginner project. So we'll be making that. Yeah, I'm excited.
I hope mine looks like that.
It will. It'll be great. It is, if you look at it, it's all straight lines. You know, there's the two little curves at the top. But otherwise, just putting in these magnetic snaps and the rivets, it's literally dunk and you're done. It's so good. So
functional, though. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it'll be great.
We got a comment from Crafty M. Joyce. They said, I love the bag maker's box. Every time I receive it, I get super excited and I've never been disappointed. Thanks. Amazing.
Thank you. I think that's Michelle. Thank you, Michelle.
So, yeah. Wow, that's really exciting. So, let us know in the chat if you've got anything else that you want to talk to Emma about now on the live. Yeah, I feel like we've kind of had a really good tour of your stash, so I don't think I've got any more questions for you.
I will just show you, because I brought it out, I'll show you two things. I'll show you my next pattern, which I've got coming out. Ooh. Which is called the Nyeway bag. Doesn't look that much on the outside, but the magic's on the inside. It's kind of hard to do it one-handed.
Oh, nice.
So you've got like your two sections, so you can make it out of mesh like this one, or you can do it out of a clear vinyl as well, so you can see inside. And then what I really like is that if you use like a beauty blender that gets wet, or flannel or something, if you're away and you've made this using a clear vinyl, which is obviously very waterproof, you can put it in between and then it doesn't go on any of your bottles or get anything else wet. So it's really good. This is called the Nyeway, as in night away.
Amazing. Yeah, I was thinking it would be really great for organizing all your toiletries as well. That's great.
Yeah, or you could put your sewing stuff in there, of course, as well.
Well, if you go to like a sewing social or something and you've got to bring all your threads and tools and little bits, it's quite good to have them all sort of zipped in so they don't fall out when you open it.
Exactly. And then I'll just show you this, because this is more kind of like general sewing. And I forced myself to do this, when was it, last Saturday, because if I don't force myself not to work, I just inevitably just work. So I had to really force myself to do some personal selfish sewing, although I don't like calling it selfish sewing. It's just sewing, isn't it? So I've started making myself a quilted jacket.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you can see. But it's like a cheetah one. It's Merchant and Mills. And I've just self-drafted it. And my friend came over at the beginning of summer and she had a gorgeous jacket. It wasn't actually quilted, but it was that style. So I took a pattern from it. I think it was quite an expensive, I forget what the brand was, but it was quite a fancy one. And I was like, oh, let me take a pattern. She was like, yeah, yeah. So that's where I got the pattern from. But I've really annoyed myself because I think because I was quite tired because I did that whole thing where I got started and then stayed up really late, which wasn't really the plan, but you know. And what I've done is because you see how it's like square, it's kind of like squares, kind of.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think about that when I placed the fabric down or put the pattern on the fabric. So now the front is a bit kind of, I don't know if I can show you, but it's kind of, it's looking like it's lined up, but it's not actually when you do it.
It doesn't quite match from like one half to the other.
So, and it's really annoying, but luckily I've got enough to redo one of the front pieces. So yeah, it's gone into the naughty pile for a minute. But
yeah, pattern matching is the worst.
I actually really like pattern matching. I don't know why. I just thought, I don't know. My brain wasn't in it. I was trying to use it to kind of step away, but then ended up needing to think a lot, and I just didn't, which was obviously a fail. Okay. Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, I was trying to get that done before the knitting and stitching show, but clearly not.
Yeah, I just cut out a project like this evening, thinking this would be really good if I can wear it at the knitting and stitching show, and I'm like, when am I making this? I feel like the best case scenario is sewing the buttons on the train, but it might just not be done. We'll see.
Oh, well, I look forward to seeing it then, hopefully, fingers crossed. I wanted to have, because obviously I'm there for 4 days, so I wanted to have like a different handmade outfit for every day, but I just don't have that many handmade clothes, so I think I'm gonna have at least, I might have 3 days of handmade outfits. I don't know.
I mean, let's see how it's going. That's like 75%.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Victoria, who runs Little Rosy Cheeks, the label company, but there was one sewing show where she forgot her luggage that had her actual clothes in, so she had no clothes. So then all of the stands who had samples were like trying to find stuff they had in her size. So then she got some really fabulous outfits to wear.
Wow.
Quite well for her. Not that I'm saying that you should do that, but
sounds like a good plan. Oh, that turned out well then in the end, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, quite lucky that they have some things that she could wear, but
yeah, I'd be like, you can have this.
Just trying to artistically arrange it.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh,
that's funny. Oh dear. Yeah, I'm nearly ready, I think. So we'll get there. Yeah. It'll be good. I'm excited to meet people and to be teaching in person, which would be really, really lovely, meeting everybody doing that. I think it's going to be really good. Some really nice companies going to be there, so should be good.
Yeah, it's always really good, those shows. It's just like a really nice atmosphere, because I felt like all the businesses are very like friendly as well. Like, it's not a sort of toxic competitive environment between the businesses. Everyone's very supportive, and then all of the people who come, like all the sewists, are all very passionate and very, you know, engaged. So I think it's going to be really fun and just really nice to, you know, have people to talk to about sewing.
Yeah absolutely. And there's I always come away with something different that I hadn't thought I was going to get.
many new ideas, isn't there?
Yeah. I got some leather paints from the last show I went to, but they've just kind of been shelved. But at some point, I will delve in. Yeah. That's exciting.
Got the sort of inspiration and the commitment to be like, I know what I'm going to paint on this leather now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All good.
Great. Well, I'm going to start wrapping up now, but we have got a question. What stand are you on, Emma?
I'm on B4, which is the trimming shop. So I'm part of the trimming shop. Yeah, B4. I think we're in the main room.
Okay, cool. Yeah, when I went to the Ali Pali show for the first time, I didn't even realise there was a second room. So I'd gone all around and was like, oh, I'm quite worn out now. And then I was like, wait, I haven't seen like Ethel and Joan and like all these companies. I'm sure they were going to come. And then I looked at the map and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a whole other room. That's a top tip if you're coming to the show this week. Make sure you do both rooms or you'll miss out the people.
Yeah, because you find some really good gems in those rooms, don't you? Is there three rooms or is it two rooms? I forget.
I think there's two, but...
Yeah.
There's also the entranceway bit where they often like to display quilts and stuff. But I don't know if they have stands per se in there.
I feel like they used to be three rooms. And then with COVID and everything, they made it a bit smaller. But I might have just made that up in my head, wishful thinking. But I think I was trying to think when the first time was that I went, but I've definitely been going for around 20 years, I feel like. Yeah, because I used to go when I was working in costume, we'd just go. And actually, I remember, and luckily I don't remember the business because it wouldn't be good to call them out. But I remember going in with my colleagues and we used to... when you're making like a foam latex thing, you'd get like a little flange. If you imagine the mold goes around and you get like a little kind of wafer thin bit of foam that then gets snipped off. And you use these the scissors that are kind of bent like that.
Like the sort of surgical ones.
Yeah. So you use those to get really close to the edge of the molding parts, so to snip it off. And I went in with a colleague and we went and asked this scissor company and we said, have you got any of these scissors, because we're looking for them. We didn't tell them what we did or anything like that, and he just went no. He was just really rude. No, I don't know what you're talking about. It was like the first store we went into. No, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he went, well, you're not going to buy anyway. Like, he literally said that. So you're like, well,
not now.
So then we did a classic Pretty Woman after being shopping all day with all our bags.
Just walked past.
Yeah. Big mistake. Stacey said, oh, Stacey, I've never been, so I can't wait till I'm there Saturday. I hope you come and see me, Stacey. Don't forget, Stacey's one of my members, one of my club members. I have got my tutorial. What time is my tutorial on Saturday? I can't remember, but I'll let you know. What's that?
Are you on the stage?
No. Where am I? I forget. It's one of the rooms, one of the teaching rooms. Yeah. So I'm doing the same on Thursday as I'm doing on Saturday.
In like the class, yeah. Exciting.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Amazing. I'm really excited to like meet loads of new people. Maybe I can meet loads of bag making people as well when I'm strutting around with my new little phone pouch bag.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, I'm a bag maker now. I might be wanting more thread.
Yeah, you might
have to get some of that rainbow top stitching thread from my friend Natalie. She was very excited in the chat when you were showing it earlier.
Yeah. So come and see me. And I've got stickers as well. So, yeah. And rumor has it I might be giving out rather fabulous tea bags with purchase. I love a bit. So for my whole life, I haven't drunk tea. I've been like the opposite of a stereotypical English person. And I've traveled quite a bit and they'd all be like, but you don't drink tea. No, I'm an English person that doesn't drink tea. I'm just one of those people. And then Somebody gave me a tea bag, and I still don't know who it was. I really wish I knew or where I picked it up from somewhere. And it was banana chai, banana bread chai is what it was. And I was like, this is interesting. I'll just try it. Because it said you could have milk with it. So I thought, oh, I'll just try it. Anyway, I was absolutely hooked. It's called Bird and Blend. Have you heard of them?
They ring a bell, but I'm also not a tea drinker. Maybe this like very questionable sounding banana tea is what I need as well.
Yeah.
To get me over into tea drinking. I think it's very antisocial to be a non-tea drinker, especially in this country. Everyone's like, oh, shall we have a tea? Let's do a tea round. And I'm like, no.
But do you drink coffee?
No, I just don't really like hot drinks.
See, I like coffee, but I can't have too much. So
yeah,
you might not like this tea if you don't like coffee. I don't know. But so the Bird and Blend tea, and then I emailed them because they didn't have it available. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I don't like tea, but I really like this tea. I really want this tea. They're like, no, we're not making that anymore. But try this one. So I tried that. And then anyway, I shared a picture of my tea cupboard. Well, it's just, you know, my hot drink cupboard, like most people have, but it's now basically a tea cupboard. I think I've got about 15 different types of tea.
They're really organised as well, though. I bet you've got them all like in their little containers.
Oh, they're just in pouches. They're not that organised.
They'll always say, oh, I'll have a water as well. People do always seem disappointed, though, when you ask for a water. They're like, oh, is that it?
Yeah.
You can have a Pepsi or something else. You're like, no, I'll have a water. And they're like, oh, all right.
I know, I'm like that. But also, I kind of feel like if I ask for a water, if I don't drink it because I'm talking too much, in case you hadn't noticed, then I don't feel so bad. I haven't wasted their drink. It's just water. They can chuck it away and there's no judging. That's what I feel like. Oh, dear. But yeah, I will have some I won't have the banana bread chai, but I will have some chocolate digestive tea.
Oh, interesting.
You'll have to come and try some.
Cheap date drinking the water, definitely. Natalie up in the chat said that the Bird and Blend tea is what Joy likes as well. So Joy's actually our guest next week. So we're going to be back on Thursday next week. And Joy's got a really, really tiny stash. So I'm really interested to talk to Joy about how she manages to keep, like, I think she's got about like 5 fabrics in her stash or something. It's like really, really curated and compact.
So impressive. I wish I was like that in some ways. I do, but then and she doesn't have any fabric to stroke. Like, what does she to just look at?
She's committed to those few plans. There's no spontaneity. I don't know, but I'll be really interested to talk to her about why that's how she keeps her stash and how she manages it, how she resists the temptation.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, that's amazing. I am very impressed, because that's really good for sustainability and everything like that, which is, yeah, amazing. So well done.
Pokemon.
My fabric is like Pokemon. Gotta get them all. Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it? Because you see, yeah, I think I put in my club a few months ago, I must not buy anymore. And then it was like, not even a week later, oops, bought some more. Because like, especially when different companies are doing like exclusive rounds or pre-orders, and you know if you don't get that pre-order, then you're gonna regret it.
Yeah, there's definitely like a sort of sense of urgency with some of the things that you can buy in the sewing community, that you're like, if I don't get it now, then I'll never have it, and I'll always be thinking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at least even if you've got a big stash, I think it's important to like know what you've got, because if it gets to a point where it's just overwhelming and you don't want to look at it, then it's not really serving you. So this is sort of one of the ideas behind stash chats, just to like you know, get people talking about stashes and thinking about them and, you know, feeling a bit more like comfortable with the whole like concept of it.
Yeah.
But to get different people with different approaches to come on and chat, which is why I'm talking to Joy next week.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'll have to watch it on catch up, but because obviously we've talked about this, but I go live the same time as you, which is fortunate. But yeah, I'll have to watch it on catch up because that's really interesting to hear her story. Sure.
Yeah, I'm uploading all the episodes to YouTube afterwards as well. So I think, because I think they're a bit easier to watch back on YouTube rather than on Instagram, because you can't really like pause and stuff as easily.
Brilliant.
Great. Well, sadly, I've got fabric that's as old as my daughter, who's 23. Well, you can blame your daughter, be like, well, since you were born, I haven't got round to sewing this fabric. I just haven't had time for the last 23 years.
Do you still love it? I think is that Jacqueline? I think it's Jacqueline, another one of my members. Do you still love it? That's my question. Because I don't know. I guess some things that you would still love, wouldn't you? Some things you might not. Or you might have had a plan for it. And the plan, like, so I've got fabric that I was like, it is Jacqueline, yes. And you do still love it, that's good. Because I've got some fabric that I have got that I was like, oh, I'll make my daughter, who's now 6, I'm sure I got it when she was about 3, I'll make her a dress out of that, that'd be really cute. And now she's on the verge of like, you can still put her in cute stuff, but not so much as when they're 3. I missed the boat.
Well, good luck with your 23-year-old fabric, Jacqueline. That's going to be a real achievement when you get that one checked off.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, everyone. And hopefully, we'll see you on the future Stash Chat. So, yeah, see you around, everyone. Thanks so much, Emma.
Thank you. Take care.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to Stash Chats wherever you listen to podcasts to tune in to more great conversations with the sewing community. If you're interested in organising your own sewing stash, be sure to check out Stash Hub app, available on iOS, Android and web. Links with more information about Stash Hub and the show notes for this episode can be found in the description.